Hello, and welcome to Be Bold, Live Free. I'm Jillian. I'm an abuse survivor and advocate for women whose lives are impacted by abusive relationships. Every week, I will host a qualified guest to address an issue relevant to recognizing abuse, walking away, and most of all, healing from the emotional, spiritual, and psychological impacts of hidden abuse. If you appreciate today's episode, please like it, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Someone you know needs this podcast. Welcome to Be Bold, Live Free, and it's my delight today to welcome Sarah De Orlando. She calls herself the Chief Hope Giver of Sarah De Orlando Coaching, and I love that. And she says that for too long, I was trapped with limiting beliefs about who I could be and where I could go. Depression and shame kept me trapped. So as a coach, Sarah helps women to start thriving in the beautiful life God has for them and get out of that entrapment. And oftentimes I refer to that as oppression. Mm-hmm. Sarah struggled with depression. And so she has a lot to offer to us today. Her background does include abuse, as it does for so many of us. And Sarah was called upon by God to write her memoir. And it's called Love Letters from Poland. In her book, she speaks hope and encouragement to women as well, just as she does in her coaching. And so, Sarah, I'm just so glad you're here today to share with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Jillian. It is such a delight to connect with you.
Well, I feel the same way. Sarah and I live near to each other, but she's preparing to move. So our in-person relationship, well, we haven't really actually met in person. We've only met on Zoom, but so I guess it won't make much difference when you move away. But it's really nice to be connected with you and to get to know you more. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your openness. Sarah told me that she's an open book. So we're just going to just begin to visit. And I have a few questions to ask Sarah that I think will benefit all of us who hear her responses. So we'll start with, Sarah, was there an insightful incident that opened your heart to God's healing? Was there one thing or okay?
Yes, one thing. It started with, now I say yes, one thing, but now I see the journey. But
right.
That turning point was I had tried so many different things to find happiness, to get rid of my depression, Jillian, but it came to this point where I realized that I needed to stop running from God and let God run to me. And that happened in Poland. And when I finally realized that it wasn't about my worthiness, but it was about what he wanted to do for me as a daughter, not as a judgmental ruler or critical father or aloof parent, but he wanted to personally step in and lift me up.
Right. Right. And it's such a beautiful thing when we do get to that point where we allow God to come in and meet us in that way. Mm-hmm. And, I know you say this happened while you were in Poland, so maybe you could explain just briefly how you wound up there.
Of course. Yes, that's a great question. I am an engineer by trade, and I graduated college in 2010, and I thought I was going to build wonderful buildings and bridges and find affirmation from that, be part of something bigger, a big team, get behind something larger than myself. And I think that was the allure of it and making an impact for people. And so as I was building buildings for people in Poland on a US military base, God had other plans about rebuilding me. And I went to Poland saying yes for this engineering project, just thinking that I would make some good money. I would pay off my student loans with my husband. We were on a strict plan. And you can check out Dave Ramsey if you want to follow out anything for how to pay off debt. But we had over $256,000 in debt when we started our journey in 2015, Jillian. And so when the opportunity came up in the end of 2015, beginning of 2016, my husband and I sat down, prayed, agreed that this would make sense for me to go to Poland for about 8 months, for him to stay in the States, and for me to make a lot of money, get some international experience. He's always been an encourager for me to go after the desires that I have in my heart. So he was completely on board. And so that set the stage for me going to Poland and saying yes to this opportunity.
Right. I have, just to share with you, our listeners, I have begun to read Sarah's book. And what I find interesting, Sarah, is that it just seems like, you know, the man of your dreams is the man you married. Mm-hmm. And he sounds like a wonderful man and godly man. And as far as I am along in your book, I could see that up to the point where I am before you went to Poland, that you relied on your relationship with your husband a lot. And it's mm-hmm. interesting to me that God provided a way for you to be on your own, and then needing to be more totally reliant on him mm-hmm. when he began meeting you there in Poland in all those beautiful ways that he met you there, at least as far as I've gotten into the book. I know there's more.
Yes. Yes.
But would you speak to that? What is your feeling about what I just observed?
You're very insightful, Jillian. And that's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, that I'm so grateful that the Lord gave me my husband Andres, because I was really broken. I had a past of sexual abuse since childhood, from about age 6 or so until 11. There were different things done to me and through me. And there was a lot of shame, a lot and lot of shame. And I thought mm-hmm. that I could run away from it by romantic relationships when I was a teenager, and I could decide, you know, I could get affirmation from a man. And God stopped me in my tracks when I met Andres. He cut off relationships that I'd had in the past. He cut off old habits of like manipulation and anything. He was completely different than anyone I had ever known. And God knew that I would need him. And I felt like for some reason I had to lay it out clean to him, to Andres, that these were these things that happened. But he showed unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Like I can't even understand or describe it. Like he was like, the past is in the past and I love you. And I had never felt that kind of love before.
Mm. Well, that's beautiful.
And so that started my healing journey. And mm-hmm. at that point, I'd said yes to Jesus when I was a little girl. I was about 7. But because of the trauma and shame, I thought like, Jesus is for everybody, but he can't deal with these. He can't fix this part of me. I'm just kind of like I'll die and go to heaven. But what is this life on earth going to be? Like, I don't know. So when I started to really believe and receive the love from my husband, God was slowly but surely pursuing me and showing me that I could trust his love and know the truth, not the lies that I had believed about who he was or how he loved or didn't love.
Right.
And because I was in Poland and had that loneliness, and I didn't have that physical connection with my husband anymore. We had different schedules, you know, 6 hours apart and time difference. I realized that I needed to get to the root of, you know, who I was, how I could enjoy myself, how I could connect with God and be apart from any other relationship.
So as you went on that journey with the Lord, I know things don't happen overnight. I know we get, you know, revelations, but I know things don't happen overnight. So can you share with us how that journey released you from your shame and guilt?
Go ahead, Jillian.
Oh, I just think that's so hard for us. And it seems like an obstacle we'll never overcome. And so it would be great if you would share that. Thank you.
Yes, there were some really key points that God did a mighty work in my heart. First of all, I wanted to not feel depressed. I didn't want to feel hopeless. I wasn't suicidal, but I felt like something had to change and I don't know what, but I need to deal with the past. I'm realizing no medication is going to fix this baggage that I've been wearing for decades. And so he would chip away at it. He would give me one verse about anxiety or a verse about his love. And I had never heard it before, or maybe I did when I was little, but I wasn't ready to receive it. So I would just cling to that hope and hold on to that for months. He would give me a new song and I would just weep. When I started to come back to church when I was about 23, there was this song. Oh my gosh, Lord, help me to remember the lyrics, but something about the Father's arms being wide open and welcoming me back in. And I felt weird to cry in church because I'd never done that before. I never felt safe enough to be open. You know, I was in my family's church and I just feel like I had to shove everything down. But as an adult, Jesus met me through worship and I would have those sweet moments, but it wasn't every day. It was a something there, or realizing that I wanted to start fasting and saying, God, what's next for me? And he led me to being baptized a few years after that. He led me to writing a letter to a person that abused me and forgiving them and releasing them and sharing Jesus's love with them.
Wow.
And then a year after that, writing a letter to the person I hurt and asking for forgiveness. And they set the letter down, Jillian, and they said, you're forgiven. Don't worry about it. And hugged me. And it was only God to give me the courage to deliver that letter in person and then have that response.
That's beautiful.
I never would have imagined that. And so that was a huge healing for me. And when I was in Poland, so all those things led up to Poland. About a year after that, I was on the ground in Poland and God was stirring in my heart saying, do you really want to be free? Do you want to see what's next? Do you want to find this hope and this freedom? And I finally felt enough space in my life, you know, being able to breathe and see what he was doing in me. And I wanted to say yes. And I wanted to ask him for big things. I wanted him to heal my depression.
Yeah.
And he gave me Psalm 40 about lifting me up from the pit and giving me a new song of hope and proclaiming what he has done in my life. You know, this is who I was, but this is who I am now, all because of Jesus's grace and pursuit in my life. And so I can celebrate and look back at these choices where I've turned and said, yes, I'm going to receive this truth for me today. And I'm going to lean into that today. And it's been a lot of those beautiful little moments. There's also been step backs, you know, been struggles, but that's why we have community, right? That's why we have our friends and sisters to pray for us and affirm what we sometimes forget.
Right.
God has placed in our hearts.
I think community is huge. And people that follow me or listen to the podcast know that it plays such an important part. We need courage to say yes. We need courage to step out into an arena where we've been afraid to go.
Yeah.
And community really helps, you know, the right community who's helping to bear our burdens and cheering us on and affirming us. And I know that you know, because of what I've read so far in your book, that a big part of releasing that shame and guilt is to stop believing the lies that we've believed for so long.
Yes.
And accept and receive God's truth and the truth about ourselves.
Mm. Yes, Jillian. Oh. And you reminded me, 2 weeks into my new church in Poland, the pastor asked me to share my testimony. And I thought, you guys don't know me. Who am I to share? But I knew that nobody really knew me in the church. It was about 50 people. They didn't know my past. They didn't know, you know, friends or family. It was just like a clean slate. So I wrestled with the Lord of what to write, what not to write. And I decided to just bear it all. And they leaned in. They cried with me. They laughed. They lifted me up. They didn't shame me. And that really set into motion this desire. Like, God, there's power in this testimony. It's not because I'm awesome. It's because you're awesome and you redeem what I really thought could never be fixed.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. I know that it's scriptural to ask God to help us with our belief, to help us overcome our unbelief. Mm-hmm. And even though we believe so firmly in God and have Jesus in our hearts, it's still hard with a history for, you know, years or decades of trying to just get by and find affirmation and, you know, do whatever we do to please people and get along and not make waves and hide our pain. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe what God can and will and wants to do for us.
Yes.
And I still struggle with that. Mm-hmm. And I know intellectually, but I still have to pray through that all the time.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but often. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I do pray is for God to help me in my unbelief of what he can do for me and through me. And the only thing standing in the way is me. So, but I loved when I got to that point in your story of how you were asked to share your testimony with that congregation and just the sweetness of what transpired there in the Lord.
Yes.
And that's what they saw in you was the sweetness of the Lord. It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
So I wanted to also ask you, in the recovery process, what I know that things have changed in the way you view yourself, but can you speak to that for us?
I think the foundation was God's love and believing that he loved me and he had more for me. And I started to lift that shame, and that gave me clarity about more of the lies that I was believing. Like, there were so many lies that I couldn't have hope for a day. But when he lifted a lot from me, from that shame, I was able to notice, like, oh, I'm critical about this, or this is a warning sign, and understanding more about depression and seeking out professional help. After my daughter was born, I was really afraid of getting postpartum depression. And so within about 8 weeks of her being born, I started seeing a Christian counselor. And that was the first time I'd ever seen a Christian counselor. I saw one in college for the 4 years that I was there, and we did some good work. But that was the first time that it was based in truth. And we talked about stopping those toxic thoughts. Like, my mind would go off and I would be worrying about Annabelle suffocating or something like that. And my therapist would just say, Sarah, put your hand out and say, stop. That's not happening right now. And something like that to just like help make that switch in realizing that I had each week for a while, I was going weekly and telling my therapist, these were my deepest shames. These are my fears now. Like, I'm a bad mom because I get mad. You know, I have a newborn and I'm getting mad at her. Like, she can't do anything. But realizing that there was a lot that was being triggered from my past when I had this little girl, because I was afraid that her past or her future would be
right.
my past. Like she would have the same thing. So God brought a lot of things to the surface when I was mature enough to deal and process them. So she's 3.5 now, the last 3.5 years, I've written this book and got to remember and see where God was in my story and deal with a lot of lies and see how he's coming along now and wanting to free me. I just turned 33 last week, and I decided, Lord, this year I want to be letting go of the past. I don't want this to define me. I don't want to say I'm an abuse survivor. I want to say I'm a daughter of the King, or I'm an author, I'm a biblical life coach, and not be defined by my pain.
Right.
Sure, I'll share about my pain and I'll connect with you about that because we all have those struggles, but I want to see what God has for me, the more part, and embrace whatever struggles that come ahead, but noticing where those triggers are and working through a therapist still. Like I still see somebody every few weeks and work through where those lies are, praying into them. We sit and talk with the Holy Spirit and say, what do I need to believe right now? What's true? And it's a lot slower. God works a lot slower than I want.
Yes.
And healing me. So slow. But I think we need that, because if we just do the next thing, quick fix, like, are we going to feel it in our soul?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to know mm-hmm. that we know this truth? And then do we need to be reminded of it again still, you know, a few weeks from now or whatever? Like, I think remembering is good for our souls. It's good to share with others too and help on their healing journeys and finding
right.
that restoration.
Right. I just, you know, you just brought up community again, and that mm-hmm. just can't be overemphasized mm-hmm. because when we start believing lies again, mm-hmm. even for a moment, if someone is close to us and something, you know, we speak something that is kind of like self-condemnation or self-deprecation,
mm-hmm.
that other person can say, whoa, if we don't catch it, mm-hmm. they'll catch it. And, mm-hmm. You know, that's not coming from God.
Right.
Those thoughts are not coming from God. So that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I know that healing and recovering is a long journey. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we want to just tell people, oh, if you just give it to the Lord and lay it down in front of the Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was just speaking with someone yesterday, and it's so important for people to understand that there's not a quick fix, like you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and that it is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you would share with us what you, as you have gone through your own journey, how that mm-hmm. has prepared you to go into this coaching business that you now have. Mm-hmm. And I just heard you call it biblical coaching, and I love
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important for us to realize that when God is at work and bringing us close, and we are overcoming these things and mm-hmm. learning to give up the guilt and the shame and turn away from it and let God, you know, restore us, and not only mm-hmm. restore us, but replace those lies and mm-hmm. misconceptions with his truth and encouragement and our future. And I wonder if you could share with us how that has prepared you on your journey to reach out and help other women.
Okay. I have found in the last, especially the last 2 years or so, that it's not about me wanting the healing. I do want to be healed, and I do want to not think of my past in shame or have it trigger me anymore. I want to be able to say, this is how I've grown, and I see the Lord in it. But I've noticed that in those raw moments, that's where I meet Jesus the most, right? In Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14, not just stopping at 11,
right?
But he promises when we seek him with all of our heart, we will find him. And out of that desperation and that pain, I have sought him and I have found him. And I know that he is better than anything else that I could imagine. And so my heart is to help women, especially women, find that connection in the way that God created them to have that heart relationship with Jesus. And so they have their song, they have their story to share, and the community that they need to impact with the unique gifts and calling, whatever it is. It could be for millions, it could be for just their family. We all have different things, but when we are rooted in Jesus, when we seek him with all of our heart and delight and know that he is for us, and right. He has a sense of humor, like there's personality, but like there's just so much vibrancy the more and more time I've spent in the word and praying and just soaking in his presence, there's nothing better. So that has just lit a fire in my heart to help other women realize how much he loves us so that we can go and impact nations and generations for Jesus. Like that is the thing, like the main thing for me in my heart song, is that we would just know that love,
right,
and then do something about it.
So your passion is evident. I love it. And your heart song, I love that too. You mentioned that you spoke about, you said generation. And mm-hmm. I think that's something else that I would like to ask you about that I think is so important. And sometimes in families, we have things, as we know, you know, from God's word, that are passed down from generation to generation that are not good, that are harmful things. Mm-hmm. And in the Lord, we have the opportunity to change that. And I just wonder, you know, if that has impacted you thinking about the generations, and now you have a daughter and you want her to have a different experience than you as she grows up and as you, you know, steward her.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be different.
Yes, absolutely different. For some reason, the Lord speaks to me through imagery, metaphors, things I notice as I walk. And as you'll see in my book, I talk about these ancient ruins of Poland. And you walk around in my little city that I lived in. It was northern Poland. It didn't really get destroyed by any of the bombings from World War I or World War II, but it was because one of the hangars that sent bombers out was like stationed there. The side note on that is the church that I went to bought that hangar, and now they are restoring it and making it
their
church, their community, to impact and share the love and hope of Jesus.
How beautiful. Crazy
is that? Taking that ancient ruin of a Nazi airplane hangar,
right,
and God taking it for him and using it for his kingdom. So that resonates deep in my soul. I don't know all of the dirt of my family, but I know there's a lot of secrets. There's a lot of pain and shame. And some people want to share and some people don't share, and that's okay. But I just sense something in my spirit that God wants to shift something.
Yes.
Moving forward. And we want to be, my husband and I, we want to be founded on him, founded on Jesus, founded on the rock, and noticing where are those bad things, the lies or cheating or whatever it is. Abuse for me was a big fear that it's going to continue on, and having multiple children and just worrying and be like, what does this look like? But God is affirming and helping me walk through day by day, making good choices as a mom. And I'm definitely not perfect. But the heart behind it and knowing, okay, I'm getting the main things right. Like I'm showing her my imperfect walk with Jesus. I get to pray over her, bless our family. And I love the imagery of trees and roots. And I just think of her as this adorable little acorn that is going to grow into a mighty tree.
Yes.
And she's going to be next to this forest of other beautiful trees that have been planted because of God's faithfulness in our family and the generations to come. So I really resonate with that and want people to find hope and say, that was them, but this is not me. And like breaking those ties, asking the Lord to cut those and in hope for restoration.
Right. That's beautiful. And I think it's so important for us to understand when we've, you know, seeing the damage of our heritage, mm-hmm. and that it doesn't have to stay that way. Mm-hmm. I love how you shared that. So thank you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're welcome. And I know your daughter's name is Annabelle. Mm-hmm. And I would just love for you to tell us what her full name means. Like you shared with me when we talked last time.
Oh, okay. So her name is Annabelle Grace, and Anne is a family name for me. So there's generations again. Annabelle is, I think, the sixth Anne going back on my mom's side. And then Grace was just something that God had put in my heart. But I didn't realize until after Annabelle was already born that Anna or Anne means grace. So Annabelle Grace is a double portion of grace, like grace, beautiful grace. And so it's just like, oh my gosh, God, this, she is such a gift, and she is smart and spunky and talks a lot. And I'm an introvert, and there's a lot of wonderful gifts and challenges, but she truly is just a double portion of God's grace for me, because for many years I didn't want children because I was just afraid from my past that it wouldn't be redeemable. And yet God had other plans.
And yet God.
And we actually had decided that we wanted to start a family when I was in Poland. That was like, okay, I think we're ready. And we had been married for 5 years. So just more of God's grace working in both of my husband and my heart to say yes for what was next for us.
And that's another thing God has done in your life, is help you to overcome fear. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. Mm-hmm. That really is huge. So I know that you walk very close to the Lord. And I wondered if you would share one of your favorite scriptures with us that you rely on as we close out our time together.
I would love to, Jillian. I was knocked over when I found Romans 15:13. And it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit."
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate the time with you today. And for those of you who are listening, you'll find the address, the link to share to Sarah's website and information about her beautiful book that I can't wait to finish reading, and also information about her coaching, which I think is just wonderful. And so I just praise God that you're doing that. You have so much to offer. So that's just wonderful. So look for the show notes and get to know Sarah. Thank you for being here on Be Bold, Live Free. See you next time.